Hello, this is Utah Phillips, the golden voice of the great Southwest, and you're in fact listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. Coyote sat there waiting for someone to play tricks on, wasn't hesitating. Came to me in a dream last night, said she was Richard Nixon. Yep, that's Coyote, all right. Yeah, well, here we are again, back after, a good bit of traveling, a bit too much traveling for me these days, but boy, I had a whale of a good time. I'm going to share with you some music this morning of what that traveling entailed. This is me, Utah, and of course that's Steve Baker over there who's pushing the knobs. The wonderful music of the Borsdorfs. I can't say enough about that. I admire what they do so much. The Borsdorfs have disappeared. Does anybody know where they are? Jimmy and Nancy, if you're out there, there's a lot of people who wonder where the hell you are. So give us a call up here at the station. Let us know. That little poem was from D.D. Wine Press, who obviously didn't have anything better to do with his time. We are in the studios of radio station KVMR, where we are preparing to embark upon, I think it's our 7th or 8th annual Celtic Mud Wrestling Festival. Saturday's events, the first in the pit will be the Pipers versus the Fiddlers. So be there or be square, be present or be a peasant. We're in downtown Nevada City, California, a sleepy little hamlet lost up here in the foothills of the Sierra. Our young people, for excitement, go down to Hertz and watch them rent the car, or they go to the library and make noise. Nevada City, a town so small, a town so small. We haven't got a village idiot. Everyone takes turns. Oh, now, where was I off to this month, past 30 days? As I say, I've told you before, often I don't travel much anymore because of the heart condition, but things did come up and it was all worthwhile. Found out that Loafer's Glory is becoming pervasive. They're being carried or broadcast now by Yellowstone Public Radio. Public radio? That's a breach in the dike. That's radio station KEMC up in Billings, Montana. The largest broadcast area in the United States and damn few people in it. Billings, Bozeman Public Station, and then 24 translators scattered out over Wyoming and most of Montana. Well, they invited me up there to do an afternoon concert out on the lawn there at the university for their subscribers and anybody who cared to ride in from the surrounding countryside. So, yeah, I went up there to Butte, hooked up with Mark Ross, my old friend and a tramping buddy, one of the Rose Tattoos people. And we rehearsed, which isn't normally a word that exists in my lexicon of musical terms, and then went over to Billings and did that program. Now, it being public radio and covering a considerable territory up there, I thought it was appropriate for me to raise some issues I have with NPR and its a drift toward corporatization. I wasn't trying to be rude. I was trying to be emphatic. It was Mao Zedong said, seize the time, and failing that, go for the oregano. So I did take the opportunity to sing to them once again as it's talking NPR. I turned on my radio and spun the dial. Thought I'd listen to some news for a while. I grabbed the knob, spun it around, got NPR. Here's what I found. Real news? Hardly a trace, just one damn marathon marketplace. The NASDAQ's up, the Dow's in the cellar. NPR sold out to Rockefeller. Hostile takeover. Real hostile. Well, I hear all about the antitrust and all the day traders who bit the dust. Mergers, buyouts, and acquisitions. Low-down crooks in high positions. Wheelers, dealers, and CEOs fired and paid off through the nose. Buying yachts and fancy homes with the bailout money from the savings and loans. And I get pissed.
off, that is. It's .com this and .com that, and the underwriters are a-getting fat on an airwaves stole from you and me by a bunch of thieves called the FCC. They don't give a damn what we want and need. They've all caved into corporate greed and sold us out to the ruling class. Well, the whole damn bunch can dot my com. This is a family show, folks. FCC says, watch your language. English, what's yours? I got tired of being treated like a veg, so I called up the station and canceled my pledge. And in a mighty act of liberation, sent the money off to my community station. I said, I love you, but if you blow it, I'll sure as hell let you know it. I'll knock the radio off the shelf, buy a transmitter and do it myself. Whitebeard the Pirate. This is radio station HOBO, broadcasting on a vagrancy of 60 to 90 days. Signing off. For now.
Oh, yes. Now, if I look at that as a straw poll, now I've sung that over to Kate Wolfest. I've sung that here and there. And the people who are listening to me understand exactly what I'm saying, and they approve loudly and vociferously. So if I was to say this was a straw poll, it ought probably to alert NPR and its affiliates that their audience is gradually being cut adrift, hopefully being galvanized to support their local community station, and if not, to start their own damn station. Yeah. Well, now, we finished that concert. It was a matinee, finished at about 6 o'clock in the evening up there in Billings, Montana. And I found out, lo and behold, that they have a AAA ball team, the Pioneer League. Their hometown team's the Mustangs, and it was their opener. They were playing the Missoula Ospreys. And a beautiful old wooden ballpark. Yeah, they gave us tickets to the game, me and Mark. Old wooden ballpark, must go back to the days when Billings was a cow town, and the stands were full, like a flock of colored birds, the Boy Scouts in their uniforms. You know, every time I play in a town, this is my habit for the past 30 years, I spend part of the money that I earn in that town so that I don't feel like an imperialist, you know, just come to town on a raiding expedition, take the money and leave. So, of course, I sat there in the stands when they came around doing the 50-50, to support a good cause locally, I bought an arm's length of raffle tickets. The winner's half of that 50-50 was $508. Now, you know how I know that? Because I won. So I left town of $500 richer. Yeah, I still feel like an imperialist, but I guess I'll have to live with it. Well, let's do something for Montana. Let's do something for Billings, for that. There's a fellow by the name of Jay Rummel. Met him over in Missoula, Montana, kind of a warehouse sort of place where he lived. This is the kind of recording I love. Somebody who knows what they're singing about, who has lived the life, who simply has a little Kmart cheap tape recorder and is sitting in their room and punches the button and said, hi, here's this song. And these meet no known engineering standard, but they are true. Let's listen to Jay Rummel. In the spring of the year.
This tape is being made especially for Mr. Mark Ross on the 23rd, let's see, the 24th of April. 23rd of April, 1985. Mr. J.R. Rummel. Thousand head, a long horn's the F U F and the X I T. From the Brazos River to the wide Missouri.
I find that kind of music moving, strangely moving to me. It's like going back to the true vine, isn't it? Going back to the true vine is, I wouldn't want to call anybody phony. I wouldn't want to tell anybody that without trying to do music that they were being phony. But you do have to go back to the true vine. You've got to go back to the well. And what you just heard there is, right, way down in the well there. Well, I got back to Nevada City here and worked on some radio shows and spent time in the garden. And then I went over a couple weeks later to the Kate Wolf Festival. It's the Kate Wolf Memorial Festival. This year it was being held up at Wavy Gravy's place, the Hog Farm up there by Laytonville, California. Oh, it was a beautiful, beautiful sight. And there are a couple of thousand people there who knew and loved Kate. And loved her music, and a lot of people on the stage there who knew her as well. Now, I know that out there in different parts of the country, well, maybe up there, you know, Yellowstone Public Radio, that whole area, you may not know Kate Wolf. It's not particularly needful. I do hope that your radio stations are playing her music, though. She was a prodigious great songwriter. Mainly, she was a friend to all. Kate Wolf took care of a great many people in her life, maybe a few too many. She passed away from leukemia about, I don't know, maybe 14 years ago. We traveled many, many miles together over the road, touring, traveling together. She knew the names of all of the organic restaurants. She knew the names of all of the fresh food stores, the organic food stores, and I knew the names of all where all the weird stuff was, the stuff that really makes it worthwhile traveling all those miles to all those places. So we exchanged those things. Well, my favorite of Kate's songs is a song she wrote called The Slender Thread. 60, huh?
Weaving him a pillow full of dreams, soft winter wool and summer fleece. the colors of the berries that grow among the hills. Strands of cloudy gray and deep blue indigo. And she sits beside the open door in the evening sun. Combs the carded wool in her lap, her long hair all undone. Talking to the one she loves as she weaves the hand-spun yarn. Like a web around her there to keep her safe from harm. Dances in his heart like a feather. So fine the threads that bind the souls together. She's weaving him a pillow for his head. Sometimes the strongest love hangs by such a slender thread. He always loved to sing those country songs about his mountain home and love. That one about an old friend riding with the highway signs. But his favorites were the ones he could play between the lines. He would sit on her porch in the evening light with his guitar in his hands, singing to the night, weaving pictures in her mind with every single word. But the songs he wrote for her were the only ones she heard. She had his drifter's heart on a tether. So fine the threads that bound these souls together. She loved to hear him sing, that's what she said. Sometimes the strongest love hangs by such a slender thread. Child's smile on a man full grown. If he'd gone just another inch, by now he would be dead. At times a life can hang by such a slender thread. He can only stars for another day. fine line that you walk is just a slender thread. She knows his heart can be as tough as leather. So strong the threads that bind these souls together. Still he counts the scars inside his head. Sometimes the strongest love hangs by such a slender thread. She's weaving him a pillow for his head.
Slender thread, boy, it takes a takes a minute to get out of a song like that, like so many of them. Well, I guess we'll do it with somebody who was at that festival, the Kate Wolf Festival. There, first time he'd ever played there, an old friend, a person whom I respect enormously, and it's John McCutcheon. John McCutcheon, besides being a tremendous instrumentalist, he plays everything. He also performs some of the traditional repertoire, the real folk music. There's damn few people that are out on the boards who do that anymore. But John McCutcheon is also the president of my local, the National Local 1000, American Federation of Musicians, Traveling Musicians Local 1000. And we worked really, really hard to get that for our people. John McCutcheon, I guess you'd call him the Harry Bridges of folk music. And our local is the fastest growing local in the AFM. It's phenomenal. They don't know why we're growing that fast. Well, it's because of the need, because of good organization. And now we're organizing industrially, which is to say, anybody who's working on that work site should belong to the same union. You know, we're talking about mimes and folk dancers and professional storytellers. We're organizing industrially, dear to the heart of a Wobbly, you know, dear to the heart of somebody whose mother worked for the CIO. Well, John McCutcheon sang a song there at that festival that he hasn't recorded. He had just made it up. But the people backstage made me a recording of it. So it's the first time out of the shoot you're going to hear this. John made up this song entirely out of sentences from the speeches of George W. Bush, and you can take his word for it. Bush speak.
And in fact, I had nothing to do with the words except for a little thing at the tag at the end. No. The writer of the words of this song, this song comes entirely from the speeches of George W. Bush. Now, I was born in West Texas, pretty near California. Far away from Dad's home in D.C. When I'm talking about myself and he's talking about myself, all of us are talking about me. Now some may retort to personal attacks, take the high horse but claim the low road. But I am not a revengeful person. I'll simply respond with this ode. When I delivered the State of the Budget address, I offered up a question or two. How can a man put food on his family? Will the toll booth to the middle class become more few? No, it's time to make the pie higher. I know this idea will resonate. This is no time to be sublimitable. It's time we must unificate. You see, when there's more trade, there's more commerce. And we'll bring this solution to an end. Even if your business is Hispanically owned, whether you speak French or Mexican, we're working for a hopefuler country, no longer vulcanized, where humans and fish can coexist and each act civilized. I'm not making this up, folks. Hell, I couldn't make this up. I think we can all agree the past is over. Still, we're held hostile everywhere. These days, we don't know who they are, but we sure know that they're there. no longer inoculated from the mistakes of the past, with a foreign-handed foreign policy. We must have good relations with the Kosovoans and Grecians and avoid emotionality. You know, reading is the basics of learning. And learning, well, I forget the rest. But teach a child to read and he or her will sure pass a literacy test. So I ask you, is our children learning? Or will we tolerate failed subsidization? Or will this be where wings finally take dream and not a cufflink of federalization? What the hell does that mean? So if you're tired of the politics of polls and of principles, it's time that you join this campaign. Yes, we're looking for women who will serve this country, and never the house will they stain. With our faith as the basics of our beliefs, where troop can house his family, and we'll find power to power the power of the power plants, you'd best not misunderestimate me. And every word and every breath, our language dies a slow, sad death. Hail to the chief, let's give him hail, part Yogi Berra, part Dan Quayle. That's our boy.
Oh, boy. Hey, thank you, John. Oh, thank you, John. Well, let's see. I got home from the Kate Wolf Festival and another time here in Nevada City to walk the streets. I walked the streets. There are only three streets, each of them two blocks long. But I stop in and visit the merchants. You know, I'm still discovering how to live in one place and how to be civil. Which is to say, lead a civil life, a life of in a civil community. But then I went up to Vancouver, British Columbia, for the Vancouver Folk Festival. I played the first one of those, oh, it's 25 years ago, and played a number of them since. It was a wonderful experience. You know, that's a festival that has maybe 25,000 people that show up in a beautiful downtown park, you know, Jericho Beach. And it's staggering. Have eight stages and then an enormous main stage, but still somehow these Canadian festivals produce a feeling of intimacy among all of those people. It's a world music festival. You have people from all over the world playing there. Ran into an old friend who was playing the festival. You remember Ian and Sylvia a long time ago? Ian Tyson and Sylvia Tyson? Well, I ran into Sylvia, and Sylvia is still working very, very hard. She told me she'd just turned 60, so I don't suppose she'd mind if I told you, but she's still out there doing it. She's touring, Sylvia Tyson touring a one-woman show called River Road, built out of songs and stories about the recollections of her childhood. Let's listen to one of those, Sylvia Tyson and The Night the Chinese Cafe Burned Down.
And me, we were finished with school that summer. Holding down part-time jobs at the Five and Dime. Singing with a band at the Legion Hall on weekends. Doing those standards and dreaming about the big time. You could hear the girls coming home from the canning factory, laughing and talking about their wedding gowns. And the radio was playing Canadian sunset. The night the Chinese restaurant burned down. Heard a sound like a shot about 6 o'clock that evening. As the first of the bottles and the cans began to explode, up with a siren wailing, and half-dressed volunteers hooked up the hose. People said they hadn't seen a crowd like that since the end of World War II. All the regulars from the Rex Hotel came down. They were standing around like they had no homes to go to. The night the Chinese restaurant burned down. And Maggie and me, we were sitting on the steps of the cenotaph. Together, we looked at each other as if we'd been given a sign. Oh, the crowd was breaking up as the steam was rising from the dying embers in the heart of a dying town. And Maggie and me caught the last greyhound. The night the Chinese restaurant burned down. It was so long ago, so far away, though it seems like yesterday. Like any summer night in any other little town. And the radio was playing Canadian songs. The night the Chinese restaurant burned down.
Blind Kenny Hall down there in Fresno. I love what he does. I haven't heard from Kenny. Well, I suppose it's up to me. You know, I had to just get on the damn phone and call Kenny. I just have a hard time dealing with telephones, you know. I'm still being dragged kicking and screaming into the 20th century. Well, now, that Vancouver festival, that enormous festival, is downtown, so it's a commuting festival. They depend a lot on people being able to take the bus and public transportation to get there. But there was a bus driver's strike. They've been going on for about 4 months. Bus drivers affiliated with the Canadian Auto Workers Union, of which I am a member, by virtue of my membership in another affiliate, Local 598, My Mill and Smelter Workers in Sudbury, Ontario. I got a whole bunch of songs about that I'll play for you someday. Well, there's this bus driver strike, and a lot of people couldn't get to the festival, and it had a significant impact on it. In spite of that, the festival director, Doug Simpson, made time on the stage, on the big stage in front of all those people, for the bus drivers to come on and state their case. Me and Rick Pugliari and Bob Sukiel and some of the Tattoos stood behind him singing We Shall Not Be Moved to back him up. And I thought that was a wonderful, wonderful thing for them to do. That's the consciousness. There's such a great sense of class consciousness in Canada that's so much more complete and so much more productive than it appears to be down here in the United States. Now, the bus riders, many of them homeless people, the people who use the bus, people of limited means, set up a bus riders camp in support of the strikers down there at the City Hall. When the festival was over, me and Rick Pilieri stopped by and sang to them in their tents before we went off to Vancouver Island. I found out that although none of the music that they're doing at the strike has caught up to me, that they're using a lot of the music from the Bus Drivers Union in Los Angeles, one of the best organized that there are. But I do have some of their music. This is one of the songs that they're using up in Canada that comes from the Bus Riders Union of Los Angeles. And wouldn't you know, it was a rally down there of the bus riders, and here's Pete Seeger. Precious friend, you will be there.
Bus riders, keep on going. When you're on your daily rides, I'm with the BRU No Seat, No Fare campaign. I'm not paying.
Just when I thought all was lost, you changed my mind. You gave me hope, not just the old soft soap. You showed that we could learn to share in time. You and me and Rockefeller, I'll keep plugging on. Your face will shine through all our tears. And when we sing another little victory song, precious friend, we will be there.
Hey, everybody remember, this is just a down payment.
That's right.
Precious friend, you will be there. Hey, will you sing it with me? I'll give you the words just when I thought. Just when I thought all was lost.
All was lost.
You changed my mind.
You changed my mind.
You gave me hope, not just the old soft soap.
You gave me hope, not just the old soft soap. You showed that we could learn to share in time.
You and me and Rockefeller.
You and me and Rockefeller.
I'll keep plugging on. Your face will shine.
Your face will shine.
Through
all our tears.
When we sing another little victory song.
When we sing another little victory song.
Precious friend, you will be there.
Precious friend, you will be there.
Sing it in harmony.
Sing it in harmony. Precious friend, you will be there.
Player Steve.
Precious friend, you will be there.
God, that man does the work. That man is out there everywhere, and he's always done the work. He is an inspiration to all of us that are in the trade. You know, Pete Seeger has the axe. He has the axe. We look to him. He showed the way. Another one takes a little bit to settle in. Well, now, one of the reasons for being at the Vancouver Folk Festival is that our friends of the road, our friends of the traveling nation, the Rose Tattoo, that social club of, my friends who sing old songs and make new ones, whose lives are largely about the freight trains, riding the freight trains, working on the railroad, and who carry a Rose Tattoo, we have to have our annual rendezvous. Someplace in the wilderness where we can build a big jungle, have a fire, and then catch up with each other and share our music and our times. Well, some of our Rose Tattoo people are moderately indigent or completely indigent, and they can't afford to get to the rendezvous. So I, in a consummate act of tramping, arranged to have everybody hired at the Vancouver Folk Festival so that they would get transportation and wages, and then we could go out onto Vancouver Island and do our rendezvous. Well, they worked us pretty hard, and I think probably, I don't know if it was an error of judgment or what, they got us to close the festival. This disparate group of ne'er-do-wells all on the stage at the end of that enormous festival in front of, I guess it must be by that time, about 18,000 people. And what the hell were we going to do? Well, we realized that by that time, people had been listening to wonderful music and consuming it, taking it all in, but they had not been singing. And that's what folk music is, you know, that's people sharing music, not just consuming music. So, of course, we got Bob Soukiel, railroad engineer from Kansas City for 25 years, and my favorite tramp, Mark Ross, leading everybody, us and them, in the Midnight Special.
See the same damn thing. There's knife and fork upon the table, beef and biscuits in the pan. You say anything about it, you're in trouble with a man. Let the midnight special shine its light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me. Yonder comes Miss Rosie.
Oh, that's the dress
how
I bought that.
How in the world one did you know?
I know it because I paid for it, man.
Well, I knew her by her apron and the dress she wore.
How would you know that dress?
There's umbrella. A piece of paper in her hand. She's telling to the captain,
yeah, release me, man.
Turn loose my man. Let the midnight special shine a light on me.
Got it, man.
Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me.
Let me take one.
You got it, man.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to fade that out on fellow worker Mark Ross, but we do have to keep stumbling along here. I'm absolutely going to run out of time. That's a taste of what we did to end that, and everybody was just up and rocking. It's really hard to work that kind of stage looking out at 18,000 people or so, just absolutely pitch black because of the stage lights. And all you can do is kind of visualize a room full of about 50 people, and they're all friends, and then sing to them. But it's phenomenal to hear that many people breathe. We went over to the island, and yes, we went up country. They're placed by Mill Bay, up in the forest, and we did build our fire. We did have our rendezvous. It was a good jungle. This event, the rendezvous, was committed to fellow worker Al Grierson. One of the Rose tattoos, tattoo about number three. Well, a whole Vancouver festival was dedicated to him. A remarkable Canadian songwriter from Vancouver who, I've remarked on him before, was swept away in a flood down in Texas. Well, we had a sort of a service for Al where everybody talked about what they had known of him and what they thought of him. We shared his music. Oh, we all gathered around and burned his hat, but that's a whole other story I'll get into some other time. I said about Al, quoting Jaber Crow, Wendell Berry's Jaber Crow. Jaber Crow said, when I was young, I had a lot of time and very little memory. And then I got older and I had less time and more memory, and I realized that someday I would have no time and be all memory, but it would be in somebody else's mind. And there's where Al was, in all of our minds. I said, I don't know who was it who said it, Al was a real individual. He was a glass of water with its own identity that were turned over and poured into the ocean, and that identity blended with the whole. He didn't lose anything. He didn't gain anything. He simply found a way home. Let's listen to one of fellow worker Al Grierson's songs, The Queen of Thieves.
At dawn, my love went all alone to take the morning air, and on her pony rode away with moonlight in her hair. Ah, how the spurs upon her heels did oh such music play, to shame the very nightingales and steal my heart away. Desert of my dreams, I wandered to the well and fought with many angels, though from where I could not tell, who held me from their wisdom till the time I learned to pray. And there I lay in slumber till she stole my heart away. Had she been the queen of hearts, she might have let me be. Or had she been a pirate queen, have hied me off to sea. But as she was the queen of thieves, she loved me where I lay. Then broke the lock on heaven's door to steal my heart away. So within the sweetest flame, the fire ever grows. The heartstrings of the bramble tree were braided to the rose, till in the thicket of the leaves that tangle down the days, I found a baby crying fit to steal my heart away. Thank you. or the madman for the moon. For all she was the queen of thieves, and yet the queen of May. For I gave it to her freely when she stole my heart away. For all she was the queen of thieves, and yet the queen of May. For I gave it to her freely when she stole my heart away.
Ah. Al Grierson. I've always known him as fellow worker Al Grierson, a member of the IWW, carrying his red card when he perished. The last day in Canada, before I headed back down for the States, back down to Nevada City, a fellow came by the name of Patty Hernan. Now, I had worked with Patty Hernan on the American Ship Eagle, the Tall Ships Festival up there in Seattle once. I had smuggled myself on board as a bogus shantyman. Well, Patty Hernan showed up, and he took all of us tattoos on a sail in his own boat, a topsail schooner, the hull from a 17th century craft called a Finnish scoot. I mean, a beautiful 46-foot-long, 14-foot beam, a wooden ship. And he took us for a sail there on the Georgia Straits, and we sang every sea shanty that anybody knew. And it's the first time I ever heard a captain of his own boat sing sea shanties, because there were Patty Hernan up there in the spray just bellowing away. This is a good way to sing myself home. Patty Hernan and a bunch of his rowdy friends singing the Mingalay boat song.
Heel ya ho, boys, let her go, boys, heave her, he drowned and take. Let her go, boys, sailing home or to Mingalay. What care we how white the minch is? What care we, boys, for windy weather when we know that every inch is closer homeward to Mingalay. Hail ya ho, boys, let her go, boys, heave her, he drowned and take the weather. Hail Mingalay. Wives are waiting at the
So now here I am back home. Good to be here. This is UU Todd Phillips, the golden voice of the great Southwest. And yeah, you've been listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. From Jack Kerouac. But then they danced down the street like dingle doties, and I shambled after as I've been doing all my life, after people who interest me. Because the only people for me are the mad ones, the ones who are mad to live, mad to talk, mad to be saved, desirous of everything at the same time, the ones who never yawn or say a commonplace thing, but burn, 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 like fabulous yellow Roman candles exploding like spiders across the stars, and in the middle you see the blue center light pop, and everyone goes, oh.